welcome to Nothing Impossible. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Calhoun and Travis Sheridan on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Welcome into Nothing Impossible. Michael here.
And Travis.
We're going to take another field trip today out to Gateway Motorsports Park. For we've told you all about Stadia Ventures before, which is the investment fund accelerator program for sports technology startups, which really, when you're talking about the legacy of St. Louis and the passion combined with what's next,
it totally fits.
Sports technology.
And for, you know, for our listeners, I think it's sometimes we throw words around on the show like accelerator and investment, that kind of thing.
Going to the motorsports park to talk acceleration. Is that what you were going for?
No, but I really appreciate that you understand that that's where I would have gone with it. We're on the same page now. Mm-hmm. No, but I think for a lot of our listeners, they may not know that we have all these programs in the St. Louis region that not only put money into early stage companies, but they surround them with mentors and support, and also connect them to these great executives from different industries. And so in this case, with Stadia Ventures, they put money into some companies, they provide them with mentoring and support, and they connect them to sports executives.
Yeah, and two of those came in town for the demo day for Stadia Ventures, one from the 76ers in Philadelphia and the other from the San Francisco 49ers. And then we'll also talk with two of the startups, one from Portland, Oregon, and the other from New York City. And we'll tell you about them when we talk to them. But we've got a few others. There's one behind the picks, the guys from Scottsdale, Arizona. It uses an algorithm to predict the winner of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball games. And they say their average is better than the S&P 500. There's one called Meredix out of Chicago, which lets anybody create an ESPN kind of like live webcast, just using their smartphone, no production truck. Easy Waves out of Charleston, South Carolina. I'll just read the description. Yachts and private fishing expeditions are usually reserved for the 1%, but Easy Waves allows the other 99% the same opportunity in less than 3 hours.
When I got to talk to them a little bit offline, and they essentially are trying to create an Uber for the yacht industry.
Oh.
So if you are down in Key West and you think, hey, it would be nice to go out on a boat, you can't afford a boat, with a couple of clicks of a button on your smartphone, you're in store for a 3-hour tour.
We'll get to a break and we'll come back from Gateway Motorsports Park talking Stadia Ventures on KMOX. All right, welcome back. Nothing Impossible. Michael Calhoun, Travis Sheridan at Gateway International Raceway.
We are out at the racetrack talking sports and startups.
Exactly. And St. Louis, as we've told you, with Stadia Ventures, is at the forefront trying to be in terms of sports and technology. And we're joined by Carmen Bellavia of one of the startups that is a part of this Stadia Ventures cohort, Leaguer. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about Leaguer. I got to sit through your presentation, but our listeners have not. So tell us a little bit about Leaguer.
Yeah, I've always loved recreational sports. My best friends and memories, even my wife, came from recreational sports. But as I grew into an adult, sports, there was a lot more about logistics and a lot of more headaches around just even scheduling, standings, registration, trying to find information on the website. And I realized that, you know, I can solve this problem since I have a technology background. So I built a platform for recreational sports to make things a lot more organized, make it easier for people to find their schedules, get notifications, and for admins really to run their organization. So we can all focus on the fun of sports rather than the headaches around the logistics.
People just hate any kind of administrative work because we're so used to, in most situations, having an app on the phone, like what you're talking about, something that just takes care of that kind of, you know, busy work, so to speak, for us.
Exactly, yeah. And so we have both a web and mobile app that does that. So parents can just go on their phone and register. If they have an outstanding payment that's due, they can do that right from the phone. And administrators, if they're on the golf course and it starts to rain and they need to reschedule or cancel a game, they can just go right on the phone, hit cancel, and everybody gets an email, push notification, text message that the game's been canceled.
You know, and kids sports, youth sports have been around for a long time. Recreational sports have been around for a long time. Has there been a disconnect, though, between youth sports, recreational sports, and the use of technology for a communication tool and a platform?
Yeah, I mean, I think there has. I think the problem lies in that a lot of these organizations are really limited in terms of resources, both financial and human. And people who run these organizations really love sports. They're not really technologists. So they haven't figured out how to solve the problem because that's not what they think about every day. And that's where kind of I come in, because I love sports and I love technology. And so I kind of brought the two together and built that platform that makes it easier for them to manage things without having that technical background.
So you're in New York, and how did you, maybe a little bit more of the story of, you know, what sport you were playing, what league you were in, and how you were sitting there, and you're like, this is really inefficient, and I think I've got a better way.
Sure, yeah. It was actually, I was in three leagues on five teams. So I was playing baseball in a league called Pancho Coimbra. I was in a flag football league, and I was on three volleyball teams. And so it was impossible to manage my schedule. There were emails going back and forth. Who's in? Who's going to make it? Are games here or is it here? And it was just a nightmare for everyone. So, you know, I just realized there's got to be a better way. Mm-hmm. And I actually, I worked with my flag football organization and built a custom platform for them. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I cut my teeth and learned really how complex it is. And it's more than just schedules and standings and registration. There's all the uniform purchasing. There's the communication aspects. And they're really like e-commerce companies. And they have to market themselves. There's social media aspects. Mm-hmm. There's Twitter, Facebook they have to worry about. And they don't want to have to. A lot of these people don't want to have to deal with that. And so we integrate all that into one platform so they don't have to worry about it. We take that right off their plate.
And how did you get connected to Stadia Ventures and what's your experience been like?
Yeah, Stadia, you know, it's a friend of a friend of a friend. My wife's maid of honor's husband's cousin is Art's wife, right? So they were all vacationing, and Art was saying he was starting Stadia, mm-hmm. and Greg, our friend, was saying, oh, you should talk to Carmen. Mm-hmm. And we kind of connected, and he was telling me about the program, and I was like, and he was telling him about my application. He's like, mm-hmm. we really should connect. And so, you know, I applied, mm-hmm. and even before I got into Stadia, they mm-hmm. were helping me. Mm-hmm. And it was just such an amazing community and amazing support group that I was really excited to get in, because I knew once I was in, it was going to be even better, you know, experience, because not just one person helping, mm-hmm. but the whole St. Louis community and the whole Stadia community beyond St. Louis. Mm-hmm.
So what was your impression, or had you been to St. Louis before, or when you thought of St. Louis before the Stadia experience, what was the first thing that popped to your head?
Yeah, you know, the first time I was ever in St. Louis was demo day for Stadia's first mm-hmm. cohort. And I mean, I remember, I think it was December, and it was unusually warm. So I remember that's my first impression. But
and now it's still unusually warm.
Yeah, it's still unusually warm. Exactly. We're sweating in our cups. But what I really remember about that day was how inspired I was. You know, and I've been doing my business, and I'm a sole founder, and I was kind of like really just in the details of every day. And what I heard from them was vision, mm-hmm. right? And it kind of reminded me of my vision and re-inspired me all over again, mm-hmm. and made me think big picture, because I've been selling Leaguer as a commerce hub, a commerce platform, but really we're a commerce hub. Mm-hmm. Building that, where now we have partnerships with Johnny Max, thanks to Stadia, mm-hmm. where instead of, you know, people ordering their uniforms online and then the league or team or coach having to go find and buy those uniforms, we can integrate that into one platform, so they just order it through the system and it automatically gets fulfilled from Johnny Max. You know, and so that's the bigger type of vision that I remembered almost when I came to Stadia and have been able to realize by being here.
And I correct me if I'm wrong, but you've also entered into some partnerships with other Stadia companies, right?
Sure. Yeah. We two of the cohort companies, Meridix, which is a video platform, mm-hmm. which is amazing technology, mm-hmm. and great people, and Rookies, which is amazing technology mm-hmm. as well, which is the player card, mm-hmm. because I think they're perfect perfect complements to what we offer. We really want to become that conduit, that mm-hmm. sales channel for all these different recreational sports related technologies and products, and we have the audience, mm-hmm. and we can give them that audience to sell their product to. Because what parent, like if you pay $80, $100 for photos, mm-hmm. what parent wouldn't pay $15 to get 20 great baseball cards right. of their kids if all you have to do is snap a picture and say, I want this picture, mm-hmm. it's done? Or who wouldn't want, if your team wins the championship, give me the whole team pack so I can give it to my kid, mm-hmm. so he can have a player card of all his kids. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And then in our notifications, mm-hmm. if dad, you know, gets the game reminder, he's at work, can't go there, mm-hmm. just click here, watch it on Meridix's platform. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's perfect marriage of our notification operation system mm-hmm. with these other products. And so we don't want to build them all, we just want to provide the opportunity for everyone to consume them.
You know, in years past, you might have walked into this and somebody might think, all right, these are my competitors. I got to scope them out. I got to think about how I'm going to outmaneuver them. And it seems like now, you know, not just in terms of the Stadia cohort, but in general, people are thinking about how can I collaborate? How can we learn from each other and maybe lift everybody up?
Right. Yeah, I agree. And that's one of the best things about being in the cohort is you can learn so much and you can collaborate with everyone. Even Synaptic, another company that has the sensory stations, we can push and promote them. We can try and get them into the facilities that use us. And then they can help cross-promote us as well. So, and even your competitors, your direct competitors, they really, you know, you talk, and it's possible. Merger, acquisition, and there's so many opportunities because not everyone is doing exactly the same thing, and everyone kind of has a different piece. So you don't want to close any doors, but you don't want to let them in too far either. For the direct competitors, for everyone else, you want to be as open as possible and be as integrated as possible because that's the value you provide, right? You can't do everything in this world, and there's so many things that are going on in the sports tech world. It's just amazing. If you listen to or watch the sport blog every day in the newsletter, it's incredible how many companies are popping up day after day after day. And the problem with all these opportunities is you just need the bandwidth to partner. And so the hardest part is prioritizing, picking and choosing, because I think the opportunity to partner and the benefits of partnering, there's no shortage of that. But the ability to actually execute on that partner is what really is going to make the difference.
So what's next for Leaguer?
Yeah, what's next for Leaguer? Well, we're raising some capital, but we have this USA Softball partnership in place. It's really a great opportunity for us, and we're going to work the channels there, meet with a lot of state associations and sell through there. But, you know, we're continuing to build our platform, grow our team, and really fulfill with Johnny Max and have a lot of exciting things going on. So I think the Stadia program was just the beginning. And I always say I wish I could be here like 3-4 more weeks, but I feel like I'll be back here 3-4 more weeks because we have a lot of work. I got so many business cards, so many connections, and they're all in the queue. So we'll be working through them one by one by one to try and, you know, to work and grow our business as much as possible.
So if you're running the kickball league in Forest Park, you want to check out Leaguer and find out how to make things more efficient.
Right, definitely look us up, Leaguer.org, Leaguer.com, any of them. I can give my email phone number right on here if you want. But
well, Carmen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great talking to you.
We'll be back.
All right, welcome back. Nothing Impossible on KMOX. Michael and Travis at Gateway International Raceway.
And we are continuing our conversation with companies, startups that are part of the Stadia Ventures cohort, the Sports Technology Accelerator here in St. Louis.
And so we're joined by Joe
Bingold, yes.
We're joined by Joe Bingold from Synaptech from Portland, Oregon. A little hot. It doesn't get this hot in Portland, does it?
It's a little warm for me. The humidity is a little rough, too. I'll survive.
So you just gave your presentation here at Demo Day, but for those who weren't here, what is your startup about?
Great. Yeah, so our startup is about sensory performance. If you think about an athlete, they have to be able to perceive the world around them well, respond quickly to be really a good athlete. And so what Synaptech does is we provide the tools to assess you, tell you how you stack up to your competition, and then where you're weak or have an opportunity to improve, we then give you the tools to get better.
I just read an article. Let me rephrase that. I recently saw a headline to an article that I wish I would have read, as we mostly do on the internet. I saw a headline that said that hitting a baseball, it defies physics. Like, it is based on physics, you should not be able to hit a baseball. And then I think about NASCAR, we're at a wreck. I think about the speed at which, the speed and how close in proximity these cars travel around the track, and the split-second decisions people have to make in moving and knowing, being aware of their surroundings. Tell us a little bit about how those types of industries or sports can be benefited through your technology.
Absolutely. What you observe is true. The science would say some of the things that we do as humans and the sports we play are just physically not possible. And it takes a heightened sense to really achieve well. And a good example would be Babe Ruth. Mm-hmm. Why was he such an amazing hitter? Well, Columbia University was wondering that same thing, and they assessed him, and they determined that he could see and respond to the world 10 to 20% faster than the average man. And so maybe the average man couldn't hit a baseball, but Babe, who's been wired just inherently better than most, can do that. Or, just like you can train your muscles to get stronger or faster, you can train your senses to get more stronger or to get faster, whatever it might be. And so when you think about a race car driver who's making split-second decisions, you want to make sure that they're reacting in as efficient manner as possible. And that's what our tools do. We allow you to train your senses to get to that level so you can succeed at hitting that 90, 95 mile an hour ball or ripping around the track really quickly.
So how do you do that? Is it just through the kind of the camera and the gyro stuff inside of the phone, or is there extra equipment that you add on to measure different things, or how does it work?
Yeah, so the assessment's actually fairly simple technology. It's the software behind it that kind of adds the magic, but it's touchscreen devices that give you an optotype or some sort of visual cue, and then you respond to it, and based on your response, we get an understanding of how good your senses are. Now, training is a different story, and the training depends on kind of what you need to improve. So let's say you want to train your reaction time. Well, then strobe eyewear, which are glasses you can wear, which flicker and limit the amount of data your brain is getting. If you wear those while participating or practicing the sport you're trying to get better at, you'll improve your sensory performance, improve your response time, and get better at your sport.
Now, you mentioned Babe Ruth, and you know there wasn't a lot of technology around for him or a lot of health and conditioning programs, and by God, there was not a nutrition program around for a guy that size. Is this the next evolution in how athletes are really trying to train and hone their skills and their bodies?
Oh, it's a great observation. You know, you back Babe Ruth's time, there's basically nothing. And then in the 50s and 60s, start strength and conditioning, and you're seeing that evolve over time. And then, you know, you get nutrition, and that's evolving. Well, now in the rise of human performance, it's the senses. It's the mind. What can your senses do? How do you stack up, and how can you get better to be really good at your sport?
And so you're in Portland, Oregon. How did you, first off, just have the idea for this? And then so many people have ideas. How'd you make this into something that's actually a reality and usable?
Good question. So I myself did not have the idea, I'll be honest. My co-founders did. My co-founders have a history in biomechanics, and they did research in sensory performance. And they realized that not only is it effective and useful, there's actually a need for it. And people are willing to pay to have their senses evaluated and improved. And so the science behind this has actually been around for decades. The problem is, it's been in a laboratory environment with analog tools, very difficult to get out to the masses. And so we digitize those tools, build a database around them so we can have data on how good a person is, and then the improvement tools we can deploy more widely. So the idea really was an evolution of what we're seeing already in science and applying it in a digital way to people at large.
And Portland is a little ways away from St. Louis. How did you hear about Stadia and end up here?
Great question. So I was actually, we were exhibiting at the Baseball Coaches Association convention, and it was in Tennessee. And Art Chu, one of the founders of Stadia, was there walking the halls, and he comes across us. He actually knew one of our co-founders from his days at Rawlings. He's like, guys, Stadia. And we looked into Stadia, like, yes, Stadia. It's a perfect fit. And so immediately got involved, immediately applied, got accepted to the program, and it's been a really good program for us.
And so had you ever been to St. Louis before you'd heard about Stadia? Or what was the first thing that popped into your head when you heard that the Stadia Ventures thing is based out of St. Louis?
Well, honestly, the first thing I thought was, hey, my wife was born in St. Louis. So no, not that I actually...
Be careful, you'll wind up moving here.
Yeah, well, that's okay. This is actually a great community. So, so my wife was born here. You know, I hadn't actually spent much time here myself, but I visited a couple times, so I knew about St. Louis. And I was kind of curious, is St. Louis going to help my company? Is it going to have the startup environment that we need to succeed? And I was shocked, honestly. I was impressed with the number of incubators, the number of people who are investing in startups in St. Louis. And I think St. Louis is under a radical transformation. You are going to see companies founded here, lots of them. And, you know, who knows which ones can become the next Fortune 500, but there will be some out of what St. Louis is doing. And that's going to help burgeon the city, kind of a whole new growth in the sport and tech sector.
Had you come across anything else like Stadia Ventures at any other, out of any other cities, or is this kind of a one-of-its-kind sports investment fund in the country?
There are a couple investment vehicles tied to a particular team. It's like the Dodgers have an accelerator. But an agnostic sort of just sports in general technology venture fund, no. This is really unique.
What's really cool about St. Louis, as I've observed it, and I'm a homer right now, I've been here 4.5 years, we have Stadia Ventures, which focuses on sports. We have the Yield Lab, which focuses on ag. We have 630, which focuses on financial services and financial technology. It's cool that we have all these accelerators for specific niches, and we are a sports town, right? That, we can't deny it. We have pretty good teams here. But it's great that we're able to attract people from outside the area to help their businesses grow, but also to get plugged in. And speaking of that plugged in, how have you connected to other companies that have been in St. Louis, either cohort companies or folks that are affiliated with Stadia?
Maybe even any of the professional teams.
Certainly. So that was the first thing I was going to say, that the professional teams, because of Stadia, have access to the Cards and the Blues and local teams. And so we've had great conversations with them. So just simply from the logistics of increasing sales, it's been great. Then people in St. Louis, because of Stadia, have invested in our company. And so our round of investment comes from people here in St. Louis. And so they then bring forward their network. And it's surprising the network I'm finding. Like, people are connected all over the world. And you're a homer, right? You've been here 4.5 years, but you love it here. And you moved here from somewhere else. And I see that a lot in St. Louis, that there's a lot of people who move here, love it here, but they still made those solid connections elsewhere. And that's helping our company.
So Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask this. So have you started tracking Yadier Molina's performance and how he can throw people out at second base so often?
No, I have not. Oh. I would love to do that. Give me that opportunity.
Or figure out what's going on with Alemiz Diaz over there at shortstop. So in terms of Portland, Oregon, which I'm thinking of because it's probably cooler there than the 100 degrees that we're going to have in St. Louis here today as we're taping this. You know, tell us a little bit about Portland, what the environment is like there for somebody who's starting a company, especially maybe not the professional teams that you would think of, but although the Portland Timbers pack that stadium a lot, but Nike's there, some other athletic companies are there. So what is the Portland environment like?
Yeah, Portland for sports is pretty solid. You know, you have Nike, you got Columbia Sportswear, even Under Armour and Adidas have their local headquarters there or local offices there. So they it's very active. Yes, we have the Timbers and we got the Blazers. So we got sports teams, not quite as big as St. Louis in terms of that. But Portland, I'll say, is an interesting place for a company because you have the San Francisco influence. You got that Bay Area influence. And a lot of Bay Area companies are actually relocating or they're putting offices into Portland because it's a shuttle flight away. It's something that they easy access for their employees. It's a very livable city, so they like their employees to be able to live there. So you got that, and then you got the Intel and the tech presence there. So Intel, Tektronix, some other companies also offer high tech. So it's an interesting fusion. And finally, I will say that Portland hands down some of the best beer in the world. And you know, when you're starting a company, a good beer always helps at the end of the day.
Deschutes is very tasty. I think that's out of Bend, actually. But is there, I've always been curious about this. We see on Portlandia, for instance, you knew that was going to come up at some point, right? First off, there are as many birds on things as Portlandia says there are. But is there this rivalry between Portland and Seattle that the show makes it out to be? Kind of like here, we think about Kansas City, St. Louis, or St. Louis, Chicago. Is there a rivalry like that?
I wouldn't say the rivalry is quite as strong as what the show might suggest. It's fun to talk about it that way. I think there is, you know, like soccer, there's some rivalry there, of course. But honestly, like, if you ask a Portlander what football team they root for, Seahawks, right? And so there is that connection there that we do affiliate with the Pacific Northwest. So no, I wouldn't say the rivalry is quite as strong as Portlandia, although I will say some of the things Portlandia highlights, like hide and seek in the library and some of the weird things that happen on that show may in fact happen in Portland.
So one last question as we're wrapping up. So what's next for your company? What's the latest and greatest and what you're looking forward to?
Good question. So our company today sells products really to sort of the elite, the teams, the colleges, the military. So we're in that space. But what we want to do is then get this out to more the consumer, right? We have the strobe eyewear today. We just launched that a couple months ago. So as a consumer, you can get the strobes. But eventually what you're going to see is Synaptic in the place of an app or an iTunes where you can actually download some of our tools, assess your senses, and figure out how to get better.
All right. Joe from Synaptic, thank you so much. Where can people get more information?
Great place is just our website. That's www.synaptec.com.
All right.
And we'll be right back. Welcome back to Nothing Impossible on KMOX. Travis Sheridan, Michael Calhoun out here in Illinois at the Gateway. Is it Motor Park?
Gateway Sports Motor Park, I believe.
Gateway. So I need to get more involved in the race car scene here. Gateway Sports Motor Park. And we've been talking about Stadia Ventures and all the great things going on in sports tech. We have Colin Medor, is that correct, from 49ers Ventures. I'm a Californian. Grew up watching Joe Montana and Steve Young, so I have a lot of 49er blood in my system. And Akshay Khanna from the 76ers Innovation Lab. And, you know, I could go Iverson, but I could also go Dr. J, right? He's probably one of the most famous 76ers.
Both legends.
We have 76ers, we have 49ers, outside of just both representing numbers and significant years in our American history. Why are these sports teams getting involved in the startup world and innovation?
Yeah, so Colin from the Niners here. Just as an organization, we have an ethos from ownership just to be out in front of technology. Given our unique location in the world, we want to be that sports franchise where people look to drive technology and kind of what's next in sports. You know, we have a product on field 10 times throughout the year, but we're really turned on 365 days throughout the year. So how do we take our product and keep fans engaged, keep people interested, not just on Sundays? So it's something that we're focused on. And, you know, San Francisco, the Bay Area is great in terms of innovation, but we love St. Louis. We think it's a great opportunity to get outside everywhere else in America and find smart people, find cool tech.
How about you?
Yeah, so similar to the Niners, you know, for us it's very much it's a business play. We think that there's an incredible opportunity with a number of extremely talented entrepreneurs who are really for the first time entering the sports media and entertainment space, and we have our own as a team, as an ownership group, as a management group, we have our own investment thesis around the fact that many of the sub-industries within the sports space are ripe for disruption and they're ripe for enhancement. And we, you know, you can either sort of go down kicking and screaming or you can be at the forefront of that. And we've chosen to do the latter, and we're putting our money where our ideas are, and we're choosing to invest in, you know, startups from sort of every stage of funding and product lifecycle. Basically putting our money behind and putting our connections and our networks and our access behind entrepreneurs that we think are going to be incredibly successful in this space. And, you know, seeing what Stadia is doing here in St. Louis and seeing what the Niners are doing, we think that, you know, the more progressive teams and the more progressive sports properties are realizing the opportunity here, and we're really excited to partner with them because, look, I think we all believe that the number of deals that are available are more than enough for us to all be able to, you know, both compete but also potentially send deal flow to each other to really collaborate in this space.
What is maybe the coolest or the highest profile or the most effective or whatever metric you want to use startup or concept that you've invested in or utilized for your team? And start with Ashke from the 76ers.
Yeah, so, you know, I talked about it a little bit before. We're really interested in the esports space, and the numbers in gaming are absolutely staggering. So more people watched the finals of a particular esports tournament than watched the Super Bowl. And these are people in the United States, in Asia, in Europe, in South America, in Africa, all over the globe. And to us traditional sports folks, it's incredible to see this industry, which for most people is relatively nascent not that long ago, just explode. And we're really excited about it. The statistics behind this industry, and I can go on forever, but that one stat for me is probably the most illuminating. The statistics are incredible, and we think there's going to be a lot of investment in this space.
And let's give a little shout-out to Maryville University, local university here, who recently won the national championship in esports.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's a nice little connection. It's a relatively new program, and I've just recently started learning a lot about it. In fact, we should have them on the show one of these times to talk a little bit more about it. Colin, what about for you?
Yeah, so I'll go close that I'm interested in terms of not specific companies, but companies that do coaching, you know, where players can watch practice through their goggles. I don't know if it gets adopted consumer-wide, but it's really cool and another way to progress the sport. Wearables, the hydration wearable, I think that's going to be next. It's something people don't do well. And the last is interested in the lottery industry. You know, sports teams generally have a relationship with the lottery for the past 50 years or so. It's an industry that hasn't been disrupted before. So to the extent we could play a role in that, I'm excited about that. Those are the big three.
Well, I would say we need some of those hydration wearables, like, right about now.
Oh, so, yeah. It is hot out here in the raceway. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What is you think impacted the fan experience the most? Just for me, walking into the stadium, being able to use the passbook on my phone, buy a ticket on StubHub, and not have to go home and rush home and print the ticket out. But what's been the biggest fan experience impact, you think?
Yeah, so we incubated a company called Venue Next, and you know, you pay a lot of money to sit in that seat. So one of our core competencies is to deliver you a beer. We've had less than 6 minute delivery time, so we're extremely proud of that. You could also see the wait for the lines in the restroom. Do you want to get up now? Do you want to wait for the end of the third quarter? It's all about making.
I can see the lines for the restroom.
Yeah, so you could. It's all about making your experience better. You know, like I said earlier, you pay a lot of money for these seats. You should be there when you know, they catch a touchdown or hit a 3-pointer late in the game.
So what's the experience like for the 76ers when you bring technology into it?
Yeah, look, so you know, we understand perhaps more so than any team the importance of a game day experience, especially when maybe things aren't going your way on the court, on the field, on the ice. And so we focused intently on investing in new technologies, whether that's mobile technologies. I mean, it's incredible how much the smartphone has changed, obviously, every experience of our lives, but the sporting experience in general. And so, you know, whether it's being able to acquire pictures that are taken sort of candidly in the most the moment of highest excitement when someone drains that game seven game winning three pointer, whether it's shortening lines to the bathroom, shortening lines to beer, whether it's the ability to follow your fantasy team while at the game. Look, at the end of the day, we understand the competition that exists out there for people's eyeballs and for their time, and we understand that that quality of the out-of-game experience is increasing all the time. And so we know that that is what we have to strive to be better than, to make sure that people get in the arena. And once they're there, and this cannot be overstressed, and you ask anyone, frankly, any sports fan, once you're there, there's nothing to beat the atmosphere. And yes, all of these technologies, they matter. But once you're in the arena and you're watching the game go down, the power of sports is such that it's impossible to not get swept away in the feeling of being there and seeing that happen live.
What role have you seen big data play in the fan experience, and not just the fan experience, but how you can enhance the fan experience? I imagine people are coming in with their smartphones. They're interacting on all these apps. They're throwing off a lot of data in real time. Are you able to make decisions and influence the game day experience in real time with some of the data that's being thrown off, or prepare for it the next week?
Yeah, so definitely. Look, collecting data is an incredibly important part of what we do, whether that's automatically and electronically, or whether it's manually through surveys, through fan engagement touch points, whatever it might be. One of the more interesting technologies that I've seen is MLB's sort of game day at the ballpark. I forget what exactly. Oh, yeah, that's right. Where we're using in-stadium iBeacon technologies, which Major League Baseball has invested in a big way. They're able to show a fan's purchasing behavior, and then the next time they're in the arena, say that based on your last seven trips here, you bought three beers and two cotton candies and a hot dog. Here's the nearest vendor of hot dogs. Oh, and by the way, there's another vendor of hot dogs that's a two-minute walk away, but the line's 5 minutes shorter. And so to be able to do that is really, going back to what I was saying earlier, is really enhancing the in-game experience, which is, at the end of the day, that's what we're really striving to maximize here.
How about at Levi's Stadium? Brand new stadium, looked at as a tech-savvy stadium. How about there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I echo a lot of the same things actually said. So say you learn something about a fan who they traditionally show up late and leave early. You might want to incentivize them to stay longer. Or they show up early and leave late, and they're in traffic for an hour. Is there a way to make their experience better while they sit in the car? Are we able to engage them more? Are they interested in merchandise after something big happens? It's all about understanding their behavior and then really individualizing, really personalizing the experience to you, because you're different from the person next to you. It's really creating this 360 view and then catering our experience to that.
What's your experience with St. Louis been like, aside from the Heat and maybe the Cardinals and the Astros series? What else have you picked up on, or what do you think of St. Louis after especially the interaction with Stadia?
Yeah, so I have Midwest roots, so St. Louis has a piece of my heart, definitely. The people are definitely amazing here. There's definitely a passion, a spirit of innovation that I really like, that I could feel through Stadia and through the people that I've met. Really, people are committed to what's next. It's exciting.
Yeah, so this is my first time in St. Louis. I'm an East Coast kid. Mm-hmm. Most of my family grew up in Boston. Being a Red Sox fan, I've seen how passionate Cardinals fans are. It's incredible. And now working in sports, every organization wants to have the most passionate fans, and I think what the Cardinals have is truly magical. I think it was Art here at Stadia Ventures who said that St. Louis is the third fastest growing startup hub in the country, which is, absolutely incredible. Super exciting for the people here, and obviously exciting for institutions like Stadia Ventures that are helping to put St. Louis on the startup map. So, expecting big things here, and can't wait to come back if they'll have me back.
Before you talk about the Red Sox some more.
Yeah, well, I'll have to show you a picture of my jersey. I have this perfect jersey. I grew up a Red Sox fan for odd reasons, mostly Bill Buckner reasons. But I have a jersey that's half Red Sox and half Cardinals, and I wore it to the World Series when they were here in town. So that was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for chatting with us for a little bit, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure. Thanks for taking the time.
All right. Thanks for joining us this week.
We'll be back next week to talk about what is next in St. Louis when it relates to innovation and entrepreneurship.